This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Worries on the West Coast ahead of the arrival of Hurricane Hillary, even though the storm is expected to have weakened before it makes landfall. CBS's Carter Evans is there.
Fragile hillsides already eroded, with buildings left as cliffhangers are in harm's way now. Slides are the biggest threat if pounding rain hits as forecast.
This is potentially an unprecedented extreme weather event for Los Angeles, Southern California, and the rest of the West Coast.
All day Friday, authorities took advantage of the calm before the storm to build berms in vulnerable beach communities. High surf is on the way, and swift water rescue teams are on standby.
If you combine the high surf with the high winds, that's when we start getting into trouble.
Now to Maui, where Hawaii Governor Josh Green is promising to rebuild in the wake of those deadly wildfires. Some indigenous people in Lahaina say he's moving too fast and their grief is still fresh, but many like this man are grateful.
To God that we're still alive, you know. That's the most important thing, according to my children. Oh, okay.
We can replace it.
People in Canada's British Columbia province are fleeing hundreds of wildfires, most on the road, but some on emergency flights. The BBC's Peter Bowes.
Dozens of planes have left the city over the past few days, and more flights are being arranged by the Canadian military. The federal government's promised that no one will be left behind.
A six-year-old child is among seven people killed in an airstrike on Ukraine, and President Zelensky says through an interpreter that the carnage is awful.
Our bright city of Chernihiv. This morning, Russia launched missiles on the city, at the very center of it, where the National Drama Theater is located, as well as many residential homes. There were many people in the theater at the time.
Back in the U.S., a summit for President Biden and his East Asian allies.
At Camp David, President Biden played host to the leaders of Japan and South Korea, which have had some rough relations with each other in the past, but now...
We're expanding our economic cooperation to build an Indo-Pacific that is peaceful and prosperous.
But also tense, with Taiwan reporting 42 Chinese warplane incursions as part of new military drills not long after that Camp David Asia summit. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
A federal judge has ruled that art created with artificial intelligence cannot be granted a copyright. This comes more than 100 days into the writer's strike amid worries over using AI to write scripts. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The Republicans running for president debate in Wisconsin next week. Before that, they'll be subject to the straw poll at the Iowa State Fair this weekend. With more, here's Mark Moran.
The Iowa State Fair has long been known for grassroots political campaigning. This year's no exception. Republican presidential hopefuls have descended on the fair ahead of the first national GOP debate. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate says while the politicians' state fair soapbox speeches tend to cater to the Hawkeye State's rural roots, Iowans' voices play a key role in the nominating process nationwide.
We've got a significant responsibility of helping with this job interview for candidates running for president, and we need to take that role seriously, and we need to make sure we're asking the tough questions of candidates, giving the rest of the country a chance to see and hear how they answer it.
The Republican Presidential Caucus in Iowa is scheduled to be the nation's first on January 15th, while Democrats are still finalizing their date. Pate says while the candidates' messages are targeted to Iowans, the issues they discuss in their soapbox speeches cut across geographical lines. Pate adds that being just a few feet away from the candidates allows people to ask questions rather than hearing more well-worn campaign slogans.
You get much more access than you might if it was just a retail campaign where they bought a bunch of radio, TV, and newsprint ads and bombarded you just direct mail. That's all one-sided, one way. This requires them to actually think on their feet.
The Iowa State Fair, which dates to 1854, wraps up Sunday. I'm Mark Moran. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Here's today's episode. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Cripes Cast. My guest today is Truman McGee. He is the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, which are some of my favorite things to eat. Discovered them over at the Sherman Phoenix, which is a it's kind of a cool spot to get things to eat over in Milwaukee, in Milwaukee's north side. That's where I first found them, and now they're in grocery stores around the country, or around the state rather. And yeah, they're really good. I can't recommend enough you get them, but I wanted to bring Truman on because I've loved his product for a long time. By the way, these are amazing to put in Bloody Marys. Okay, I'll say that right off the top. Just get that out of the way. If you're into Bloody Marys, go to the Piggly Wiggly Festival, Woodman's, whatever, find yourself some Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. Put them in your bloodies. You can thank me later, okay? But I wanted to bring Truman on because, you know, we got to know each other just like, I think over Instagram, we were just talking, and then we jumped on the phone and we're chit-chatting some more. And I'm really a big fan of him as like an entrepreneur. He's got a great story where, you know, he was working construction, had to move back home with his folks, but then, you know, just something happened and he said, you know, I'm going to start just working out and then training. And then he developed this spring roll just as a healthy thing to eat, high in protein, fresh ingredients, this and that. And then before he knew, he started selling those. That became the business. It went from being a trainer to that being in the business. And he's been doing it ever since. And so I just really enjoy hearing how entrepreneurs kind of take the no's in their life and turn those into yeses. And Truman's a perfect example of that. All right, folks, that is it for the intro deal. Here is my conversation with Truman McGee. Thank you, sir, for coming into the studio.
Yes.
You're one of the first few to make it in here.
Oh, wow. History, y'all.
Well, yeah, kinda. We'll call it that. I appreciate that. Yeah, whatever you want.
You know? I'm calling the history. I'm the first person to ever come into the studio.
I'm well, saying. Actually, you're the one, two, third, fourth person.
I'm the first bald man, bald black man, maybe.
Bald black man for sure.
Yes, black history, y'all. Yeah. February 28th, that's my day. I'm with it.
Yeah, nice. Well, we appreciate you having you in here. And I got to say, you know, I guess the long story of the reason that you're in here is one of my favorite places to eat in Milwaukee. Back when they were doing this deal, Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. Holy smoke.
That's it.
I love them. Absolutely love them. And I also, the last time I was there, I bought, Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, you guys used to have sort of the brick and mortar shop in the Sherman Phoenix.
Right.
And then you had a freezer right next there where you could buy those. I bought a ton of those. Those are amazing and Bloody Marys.
Yes.
And if nobody out there, or if someone out there has not tried them in their Bloody Marys, they really make the Bloody Mary to come together. I feel like they are a staple. They should be a staple of the Wisconsin Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary and spring roll pack being sold somewhere.
That
I've never had it, but now ever since you did it, it's my goal. I want to create some content, make a Bloody Mary, make some Funky Fresh. Boom. We're replacing the sausage that goes into the
Bloody Mary. You know what? Here's the situation too. You know, for those who are going to fight the sausage replacement, is the thing about a Bloody Mary is it's like a potluck.
It is.
There's always room for more. You know,
potluck, like a gumbo almost. It's
100%.
You find some your blue cheese, you find your olives, sausage. I've seen a little mini slider on there before. Yeah. Cheese curds.
Shoot, at Sobelman's, I think they put like a whole chicken on top.
A whole chicken.
Do they do that at Sobelman's or is that some other place? Maybe that's in Algoma. There are a lot of Bloody Mary spots around here.
So you could feed a family of four with a Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah.
That's
sure.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, y'all. We did that.
So anyway, you got a thriving business now. What's your story? Was it easy out the gate?
Yeah, it was really difficult. Like just thinking of that time when that freezer was outside of the Sherman Phoenix. That came out of from us pivoting from COVID. Like our restaurant was open, it was doing well. COVID happened, shut down the whole world. Everybody watching in this room, everybody watching on the internet webs has been affected by COVID. So I took one day to sit home and cry after COVID, like big 300-pound bald black man just in his living room crying. Cause I'm like, how are we going to recover from this? There's no way. And then I decided, I say, you know what? We got this product. Let's just freeze it. Let's sell it directly to people. And that's kind of where the idea started. For then we kind of developed a package, got a freezer, got more freezers. And that's literally how our frozen business was born through COVID. Difficult situations is just part of life. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So every situation like that, like what can you learn from it? I call it collecting pennies. Like, what can you learn from it and store away and maybe use later on for the next problem?
What you call collecting pennies?
I call it collecting pennies because in life, we have experiences, we make mistakes, we fail, we succeed, everything. It's like saving money in the piggy bank. So, for example, early on in my career where I had to move back into my parents' house, and just like dealing with the anxiety, stress, trauma that of like you're 30, you're bald, you're out of shape, and you had to move back into your parents' house because life isn't going well. It's a tough thing to swallow, especially as men, as we approach 30, we feel like it's like midlife crisis or whatever. So at that time I was unemployed.
Can we just say quarter life crisis for a guy who's 36 and not quite ready to admit, you know, that
quarter life, something like that. But they say it was the life expectancy is just, like 80, 70.
Yeah. Let's go with 80.
80.
So I'm not even there yet.
No, I'm 39. You 30. We good.
Yeah, we good.
We good, guys.
Yeah. All right. you're moving. You're moving back into your folks' house, 30.
I'm moving back. I'm just about to turn 30. I just had a kid. He's 1 year old. It was like, I was working as a construction worker, laid off. And I just like, man, I need to do something I enjoy. Like, this isn't fun no more. Like, work construction, always being laid off or whatever. And I just thought, like, once you start, like, working out, getting in shape. So from there, I lost a bunch of weight. I had fun doing it. And then I said, when I switched careers, I got into personal training. I was coaching wrestling at the time at Milwaukee Tech and Milwaukee Pulaski. And I realized that, like, man, if I start personal training, it's just like coaching wrestling, just like coaching the kids. And in that, I was just having so much fun working out, had these big ass tractor tires and doing flips at the lakefront.
Oh, wow.
And this lady came up to me and was like, what are you doing? She's like, so concerned. What are you doing with these tractor tires? And I'm like, dad, corny dad jokes, like, hey, I'm getting tired. Get it? Tired. And she's like, I laughed. No. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, I am getting tired physically from working out, but mentally in my life, I'm tired of where I'm at, tired of being stuck. So I decided, you know, I got to take life into my own hands. And I started my first business called Getting Tired Fitness. And we used the track tires to do workouts. And then from there, people thought like, hey, I'm plateauing in my workouts. What can I do to, you know, get more results? I'm like, you got to eat better, right?
Yeah.
And then I would start selling food. To like the food I was eating, directly to my customers, and they loved it to the point where they would call me and say, hey, I can't make the workout, I'm sorry, whatever. Oh, it's okay. And then later on, at the end of the workout, they're there to buy free food. I'm like, buy food. I'm like, wait, I thought you said you couldn't make the workout. She's like, no, I couldn't make the workout, but I'm still making it for the food, whatever. So that's what I thought. I said, okay, people don't like doing push-ups and burpees, but people love these sweet potato, black bean burritos and spring rolls I was making at the time. And then that's where the light bulb kind of went off where I could sell food, healthier foods to people. So about the pennies, to circle back to the pennies, during that same time, it was probably 2014. Like I said, and I was in this journey, this new journey, not even sure what it's called. It wasn't even Funky Fresh yet. It was just like Getting Tired Fitness, and Getting Tired Fitness sells healthier food or whatever. It was no real name to it. But I remember my son had a Green Bay Packers piggy bank. Right. And he cherished this thing. And I'm like, down to my last dollar. I'm like, I got to crack this piggy bank open.
Oh, no.
Cracked it open. And he was so young at the time. He's 13 now, but he was probably 3 or 4. He still remembers that. And I paid him. If he's watching this, he got paid. I got you last year. I took care of him. He's good. We're eating. Okay. But I took the piggy bank, put it in a mason jar. And I see, and it was like halfway filled. I'm like, okay. Maybe this might be $20, $24, enough to give me some gas or whatever. And I took it to the bank, and it was like $87. I was like, oh, snap, $87. Took that to the grocery store, bought ingredients, made some stuff to sell spring rolls, made $300, took that $300, paid my phone bill, got some gas, bought some more ingredients, and I just kept flipping that and kind of getting out of that position. And it was just amazing because I was collecting pennies to get to that point. But a lot of times we see pennies or things of little value, and we just ignore it. So, me and you could be having a conversation. You might give me one little small piece of information. I'm gonna store that in my piggy bank. And now throughout life, I'm just accumulating wealth through experiences, or accumulating knowledge through experiences. So it's just the same as like collecting pennies.
Isn't that interesting? And in order to do that, you got to be like in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're spacing out all the time.
Yeah.
As someone who spaces out from time to time, you miss some pennies, and then you miss the wealth of life.
That's,
you know,
that's it. I'm conscious of it now because I actually still to this day collect pennies. Whenever I'm out, I'm like scavenger for pennies. I'm like, oh, this is a penny in the gas station. Boom, pick it up. And
you're physically collecting pennies.
I'm physically, physically. I don't want to ever miss that like hunger for it. So I physically collect pennies. And then also, and just in generations, like we're exchanging pennies in this conversation.
Yeah. You know?
So it's like always looking for pennies.
I like that, man.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the title of your book.
You know what? So I got two titles. It's something with the pennies. And my mom's name is Penny, too.
Oh, crazy come enough. On.
It's crazy, right? Or I like the idea of calling it the best loss of my life. Best loss of my life. And kind of chronicle all of the losses that are like pennies. And how they've helped me succeed in life.
Yeah.
You know, because no one likes to lose, but losing is inevitable. And I love it. I'm a loser, guys. Hey, I'm a loser. Because losers, you find lessons in losses more than just winning all the time.
Yeah.
You can't even win without losing. It's just part of life. And, you know, we could debate on failing school and failing whatever, but it's value in failing.
No, 100%. I also think it's... I mean, as someone who's also failed quite a bit, I think it's maybe the humility you get from failing allows you to, it's almost like, you know, when you're you got a piece of wood in the garage, you know, and you're trying to like stain it, get some new stain on it. You got to like, you got to lose that old coat, you know, in order to be, so that wood can absorb the new coat. You know,
Charlie, what the gym?
Did you see that? I was just staining wood yesterday, so that's why it's fresh in the dome.
That's you know? Really good. You got to lose in order for you to shine as best. You got to lose a coat.
You got to lose a coat. You got to lose. Yeah, and sometimes so I But just being receptive to other people's advice, because if you're winning all the time, it's really that ego, you know, that just keeps maybe you from absorbing what you need to really absorb. Anything in being an entrepreneur, or like I suppose in the entertainment business, which is a form of like being an entrepreneur, 100%. Anything where you're not in a structured job, you know, you deal with the rejection over and over and over again. And sometimes it's not rejection, but it's just like a compass, you know, if you're pointing it this way and that's west, compass is going to tell you.
Yes.
If you want to go east, it doesn't mean you can't, you know, go there. It just means you're heading the wrong direction.
Yo.
So you pivot. That's it.
Y'all hear that? That's two for two.
That's two for two on the analogies, you know? Jeez.
That one might even went over people's head because
they're like, what the hell is the loss?
What he's saying is, if you're losing, that you might go in the, you might be in the wrong direction, okay? But you're still making motion, making effort. It just means, all right, you got to go this way now.
Yeah.
All right, you lost. Okay, let's go this way. You got to just keep trying.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that is the way, you know, but you can't go that way right now. But there's so many roundabout things, ways of getting, like I got to my career through like news, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, and initially I wanted to like be a musician or something, you know, so.
Like singing?
Yeah, like singing, playing guitar, you know, that kind of thing.
No, I just thought about it too. Like in your industry, like maybe telling a bad joke on stage could still lead you in the right direction. Cause maybe you say it one way, you don't get the reception you want. And you say, all right, how about I tweak it? And I just add this word, take away this word, say it. You probably said the same joke differently and got completely different reactions.
100%.
I'm assuming, yeah.
To your point about finding pennies, that's never more true than in stand-up. Because you, let's say you have a joke, it bombs. Mm-hmm. At that moment, you have a choice of just like telling yourself, I'm terrible, this is going awful, I'm going to flip or whatever. Or in that moment, you acknowledge that joke bombs. And then the crowd always sees your truth, you know, and the crowd already knows that's true. So just by acknowledging a simple truth, you now have the setup,
right,
the bomb of your joke for a recognition joke with the audience.
Yeah.
Because you can make a joke about yourself and then rescue the show, you know. But that takes just like being in the moment, you know. But it's exactly what you're talking
that's
about.
That's one of my bucket list things. I want to do some stand up.
Yeah.
I want to do one stand up show. I feel like I got a good 5-10 minutes in me, I could write some good material.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's what I feel like.
Have you written it yet?
Never.
It's super easy. I've said it on this podcast, maybe to some people before, maybe a different podcast. I have a different podcast where I've said, but the easiest way to do it, the way I learned is you just like write 5 to 10 facts about yourself, and then just start writing punchlines to those.
Yeah.
And then you can almost just look at like the facts about yourself and find the most relatable facts.
Yeah.
It'd have 5 of them be super relatable to other people and then 5 be super unique to you.
Okay.
That. And then just start trying to write punchlines.
The first thing I would think of, because it's a real thing, I have a high butt crack.
Right? You have a high butt crack?
It's extremely high. It's like dang near mid-back. Okay, you might be able to see it from camera if I lean over far enough.
Yeah.
But I even named my butt crack, called it Luther. Okay, L-U-T-H-A, Luther. Yeah. Right, because Luther just sounds like a meaty name or something like that. So Luther just likes to pop out all the time. You know, we at Funky Fresh, we got our ways to say. So you might come in battle rap the owner for this kind. You might do some push-ups. And it's been a lot of times where I'm bending down to some push-ups and a little 5-year-old girl in line is just like about to throw up in her mouth because she just seen Luther pop out right before she get her Funky Fresh spring roll. So shout out to Luther, man. Luther, you the truth. You know, he holds me accountable, you know, and makes me work my
quite literally. I love that. That's a good bit. That's a really good bit.
This is my problem though. People are so disgusted about butt cracks, but cleavage is okay. Cleavage for the ladies, y'all get some cleavage out and the world is in your palm of your hands. But you see a little butt crack and people just lose their minds.
I've never thought about
that. It's just butt cleavage. It's the same thing.
Yeah. That's a great set. I mean, you've got a high rise butt crack. You've got a definite potential right there.
Yeah,
you got a good a good comparison and analogy to the cleavage, you know, I mean, and then maybe there's other pop culture people with a high butt crack.
Sinbad
has. And how do you know that?
Because they used to announce him like he's high yellow with a high butt crack when he used to come on stage.
Oh,
and that, like, I used to love watching Sinbad. He's funny. He's hilarious.
Yeah. Did he ever do a bit on his high butt crack?
No, never. Really? Never. Kev on stage just recently did one about his butt crack. And ironically, we both bald, bearded black guys with high butt cracks. Like, it's something. It's a real thing, you know. Plumbers, they call it plumber's butt, you know.
And
crazy enough is I actually know how to do some plumbing, so it's just like I'm letting it out. You know what? At this point, I'm gonna get judged anyway. I'm letting Luther out.
I like that. I like that. That's and in comedy, your weakness is your strength. You know that is because it's the realest thing. It's what people relate to.
I'm here for it, y'all.
Nice. I like that.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. People on the West Coast are frantically getting ready for Hurricane Hillary as the storm is expected to bring major flooding and high winds. Kelly Cass is at the Weather Channel.
Hillary's still a major hurricane this morning. It is a Category 4, kind of paralleling the Baja Peninsula and causing impacts there, and then eventually Southern California.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green says the future of a Maui community devastated by wildfires will be determined by the people who live there. This as a search continues for victims of those deadly fires.
There are now 470 search and rescue workers and 40 search dogs combing through the hundreds of burned buildings. And they've already completed searching more than 60% of the disaster area.
In Canada's British Columbia province, people are fleeing hundreds of wildfires, including one near the capital of the Northwest Territories.
Well, the smoke has been insane.
Most have escaped by car. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Cripescast on Civic Media, and today I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. Let's make the greatest transition in all podcast history from butt cracks to spring rolls.
Yeah.
Full circle if you think about it. So the business starts in, what was that? We kind of left.
That was like 2012.
2012.
Was when the getting tired and the business started. 2014 is where like things got a little rough, but I was like determined.
Is that when you cracked the piggy bank?
Yes. Yeah. 2014.
You cracked.
Yeah. Cracked it. Cracked Luther.
Yeah.
You
get it.
We'll go back to the spring world. Okay. So 2015 is when, in my mind, it started getting real. When I thought, like, man, people really love our product. Like, I'm selling it out of my parents' house. And my dad is like Vietnam vet, steak and potatoes, a man's man. Like, my dad is like super Packer fan. Like, my family has this thing where, if we watch the Packer game in the house, everybody has to sit in the exact same spot the last time the Packers won.
Yeah, and, I like that.
And if we're not in the same spot, my dad would kick you out of the house. If you're on your phone texting, you get kicked out.
I love that.
We got chants. It's like, it's ridiculous, right? My dad is dedicated. That's all I'm saying.
I want to watch the Packer game at your house.
It's crazy.
I mean, that sounds like the most intense way to watch a Packer game.
Listen,
I love
it's...
It.
Sometimes it's too much. Like, why do I feel like I'm playing the game?
Yeah.
And like, these guys are making hundreds of dollars per second. And I'm like, I feel like I have more anxiety than them. But yeah. Shout out to my dad. It's a great man. But anyway, my dad loved the sweet potato and black bean burrito or spring roll that we had at the time. And I'm like, my dad's like straight truth. Like, he'll tell you if it stinks, it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no like sugarcoating either. He's like, son, this is awful. You need to get a job. That's what he would say. But he loved this. I'm like, you know, if my dad like it, anybody like it. We had to change the name because I was calling it Getting Tired Fitness Healthier Spring Rolls. And I'm just like, the people like, how'd you come up with the name? They had to tell them about me moving back home and yada, yada, yada. It was a long story. So me coming from, you know, hip hop culture, today is August 11th that we're recording this.
It's 50th anniversary.
Hip hop is 50 years old. So it's like, oh man, like I love hip hop. I'm part of hip hop culture. Like, I love food. I love being fit and active. So I was thinking of different names. That was like Fit Rolls and like, no, Funky Fit. Or it was like Fit Fresh Rolls. That is like, that's not really catching. Then Funky Fresh is like, oh, hip hop term. So then that's how the name kind of came. Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. And then also Ben, Ben's one of my investors. His name was Funky. He called himself Funky. And before he invested, you know, we just had a good friendship. I'm like, that's a cool name. So I kind of stole his name a little bit, stole hip hop name. And then put it Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. So from there, I had a direction where I wanted to, had a direction of our product, then started getting the farmers markets, festivals, and it just one by one, market after market, kept growing until we got to Sherman Phoenix.
Yeah. And were you doing, the Sherman Phoenix, for those who don't know, can you kind of give this story
behind the Sherman Phoenix? Yeah, so the Sherman Phoenix is like a community space / food hall / health and wellness center. So the story of Sherman Phoenix came from some tragic event of 2016 or 17 when it was like a police shooting, and then it was a riot in the city, just a really ugly time for Milwaukee. And then a building that was the old BMO Harris Bank, two ladies, Joanne and Julie, they raised $4 million and renovated the space and opened the space up for nearly 30 businesses of color to like get their first start into entrepreneurship. And for us, I was a friend of Joanne, and Joanne hit me up like, hey, we got this thing going, you know, it's gonna be big. And then right away, within the first 5 minutes, I said, I need to be in there.
Yeah.
This is my neighborhood. I wanna be able to make a positive impact in my neighborhood. What better way than, you know, inspiring people, selling healthy food, you know, just being a positive organization in the community. So that's kind of how the Sherman Phoenix was built in 2018. So from 2015 to 2018, I was at farmers markets, festivals, traveling around the city. Me and Luther, we would be doing, you know, all type of stuff to engage people into the Funky Fresh Nation. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
So 2018, we moved to the Sherman Phoenix. And before 2018, we were selling like maybe 50,000 spring rolls a year, like hand rolled, which is, it sounds like a lot, but like now, when we moved to the Sherman Phoenix, we doubled that. And each year we just kind of kept growing. 2019, we sold nearly 150,000 spring rolls. And then going to 2020, we had all these grand plans of maybe open a food truck and all that. Little thing called COVID happened and changed the game for us.
Yeah. And, but you know, again, collecting pennies, you get, as you say, mm-hmm. how did COVID then pivot your business?
Yeah. So going into COVID, like I said, I was really unsure about the future, but I took the name away from COVID. Instead of it being COVID, I said, this is just an obstacle. And all right, Truman, what's your obstacle? My obstacle is I can't get people food. People can't come to our restaurant, but we could drop it off. So literally, I was thinking like, or we could freeze our rolls, drop it off directly to people's house, and just kind of grow from there. Maybe I was thinking that as a temporary solution. I didn't think that would be like the complete business pivot. But once I seen that, like, I was like, oh man, this is actually a little bit easier than opening having a restaurant. I'm just packaging rolls and giving it directly to people. Then I thought, okay, maybe we could start selling them frozen at farmers markets, because at that year it wasn't even selling hot food at farmers markets, which is mind blowing. COVID is like 3 years. It feels like we've been in this time loop.
Warp.
Yeah, with no time, but it's been 3 full years since COVID. And at that time, we was just trying to make it from the next day. Like, we had 12 employees. We were able to hire most of them back during that time, but then something just I always had a dream that we could have a product in the grocery store, but it's like, if you don't know how to, like, where do you even start? How do you even know? Do you just go up to Phil Woodman and say, hey, can I get my product in there? It's like, how do you know? And I just, you know, reached out to other people that was doing it, and like Outpost was really helpful with it. They gave me a lot of good knowledge on packaging and everything. And that was the first store we got into.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, locally owned store or community owned store. So Outpost, I always shout out Outpost because they gave me my first opportunity.
How'd you do that? You know, for people out there, like, did you just walk in there? Did you find an email? What'd you do?
So first, actually, it's weird because I don't even remember. I think I was emailing them and didn't like get anything. But then I would just like stalk their page and see like, or like who's the important people in their organization. Yeah. Do I know anybody? I feel like everybody's in Milwaukee is connected by one person.
Yeah,
anybody.
I know.
You know, so it's like, let me see if I know this person. Oh, okay. So essentially one of my mentors in the community named Venus Williams, she knew somebody at Outpost and she made the email introduction. And then that's essentially how we got in. They probably get so many emails from normal people. Hey, I got a meatball recipe. Can I get, you know, they're like, yeah, whatever. So that's kind of how the ball started rolling, was with Venus. She introduced me to somebody and then they got me to the person I need to talk to. And it just like one person at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you get into Outpost and do you then have to learn how to like repackage them for frozen and...
Well, yeah, we had to do some research on packaging and research on like shelf length or shelf stabilization and all that. But man, talking about some losses, like Outpost is an all natural store. So they don't allow any like anything. So like high fructose corn syrup, a lot of different stuff. So we was doing this cheeseburger, like a vegan cheeseburger roll. And I was using ketchup. If you don't know, it's high fructose corn syrup and ketchup. So I did like this big run. I made like 1,000 rolls, got a package, got a label, sent it to the Outpost, and they literally hit me up the next day like, you know, this says high fructose corn syrup in it, right? You can't sell these. And it's like, oh my God, 1,000 rolls. Dude. Had to take them all. I literally took them all back and just sold them hot at a restaurant and had to redo it. But that's the collecting pennies, like stuff you didn't know. But they gave me opportunity to make it right rather than say, you know what, this guy, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Get out of here, you know, so... Mm-hmm. Like, they were really patient with that, and I learned that lesson, learned about UPC code. And so if you're out there and you're trying to start a food product and get into grocery stores, you need first get your costs together, get your packaging together, find somebody that knows somebody for the most part, and then just execute from there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when it comes to sort of or that there's a lot of different dynamics to your deal as well, like and to like sort of eating healthy and sort of from an environmentally friendly perspective. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste. You know, sometimes when you get something and you it sits around and then things happen, you can't eat it. That's another cool dynamic of the of having them frozen. Or
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. Like I literally just buy strawberries just to watch them suffer for whatever reason. Because they always go bad. Blueberry. Yeah. Listen, if you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die, unfortunately. So having frozen food, you know, and it's been a stigma that frozen food isn't healthy. But in reality, it locks in all the nutrients and doesn't do anything other than just preserve it.
Yeah.
Freezing food is like the oldest way to preserve food on the planet. You know, so it's like they've been doing it for hundreds of years already. So like... It's still good. So that's one of our things. Want to be able to have a product that's sustainable. Like all of the ingredients we use in the restaurant are the same ingredients that you use that you could buy in our product right now from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was important. So throughout 2021, we made a lot of mistakes. We learned a lot. And then the guys at Palermo's Pizza hit me up the next year and was like, hey, what do you think about partner up? Whatever. So actually, that story is really interesting because I met the CEO Giacomo Faluca at a networking event, and I was like the host, and I was like on stage with Giacomo, was owner of Palermo's, and all the people from Sargento Cheese, Johnson Field Brats. Like Wisconsin has a rich history of food manufacturing, like a lot of big name companies are from Wisconsin, and I'm on stage, I'm looking at Giacomo like he got shoes on, I got shoes. Wait, he's wearing pants and a shirt. I got a pants and a shirt. Why can't I have my business be successful like him? And I literally took a selfie with him at that event in 2018. But in my mind, I'm like, we're going to do business somehow. And I met him throughout the years at a couple other like Sherman Phoenix things. But then they reached out and they wanted to, you know, like talk about a partnership, which is like a huge deal and a big dream of mine, too, to have a partner like them to get us going. So once they reached out, I said, you know what, this is going to be it. This is going to get me, you know, out of my parents' house forever.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's what a way to sort of visualize that happening, you know, with that photo or whatever. And then do you find that now that you've kind of gotten to a certain level, do you find yourself embracing that and believing in that? Or do you deal with imposter syndrome?
That's a really good question. I would say... I truly believe anything is possible. We have so many different examples around us in every day from people that we do know or people we don't know. Like that whole, I know like the word manifestation and manifest has been like watered down with everything. But I, you know, on a spiritual take, I don't want to get too spiritual on your show, but we're going to touch on it.
Oh, you can do that.
We're going to touch on it.
You can get as spiritual as
like,
you want.
Like we all have this voice in our head that's telling us to go the right way or the wrong way. A lot of times it's not even the wrong way. It's telling us, but it might not be loud. It might just be real quiet, like make a right on Felice Street, right? And sometimes you're like, all right, you ignore that advice and then you get in some trouble. And it's like, dang it, something told me to make a right on Valit. And that's just like the higher power that connects us all. It happens all the time. So I watched this documentary called The Secret. It's on Netflix in 2012. They talk about the law of attraction. I'm like, what is this? And they say, like, it's something that's real, it could be practiced or whatever. So what I would do is think of somebody that I haven't like talk to in a long time, and I think about how their voice sound, what they look like, whatever, just to see if they'll randomly pop up in my life. And for sure, it happens. It's a real thing. A lot of times we see somebody like, oh my God, I was just thinking of you. And I feel like that's like a form of manifestation. Now, granted, like it's a whole, I don't want to get too deep in it, but it could be impactful, but manifestation also comes with hard work too. You can't just think, you know, man, I hope the Packers make this field goal. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It comes with hard work, whatever. So I'm sure it's happened to you where you thought you had some goals. You thought about it, what it would look like, feel like. But you got to work towards it as well. You can't just sit in Charlie's nice attic and just manifest. It's just, it kind of happens, you know?
Yeah, this nice attic that you had to duck to get up into. You know what's funny is like when I was, pretty broke and living in Los Angeles, this was right after college or whatever. I used to people I would meet like at a party or whatever, I would just lie to them about kind of what I was doing. Just because I was, you know, probably just didn't want to admit what I was doing, which wasn't a bad job. But, you know, that's where I was self-conscious.
Okay, what was the lie?
I would say, I'm an associate producer, you know, because at the time I was a PA. I was literally, my job was making coffee and stealing the bagels everyone had let them go. Yeah, that was pretty much my job. But then I just found that I would keep making lies for like the next, I would always be lying, and I would end up doing those things, you know, which I don't think it's good to lie, but I think, you know, for someone you meet at a party, you'll never see.
Right. What are they going to look you up on LinkedIn? Yeah. There wasn't LinkedIn back then.
Yeah, there wasn't. Thanks for calling that out. Appreciate that.
I just thought about it though. Like you really, it was lying, but kind of not really, because that's what you wanted to do, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of like, what do you call it? Fake it till you make it.
That's basically that. Well, you're right. You know, I just tell this whole story,
you know,
and then there's three words that I could have. I guess
fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it till you make it. That's what I meant to say.
You made it, man. So that's great.
I did. Yeah.
So you did. So anyway, watching this, Charlie lied to you. He didn't lie. I was just joking.
Yeah, I was just future telling.
He was. There you go.
Futuristic. Yeah.
Future storytelling. Like Miss Cleo. Is Miss Cleo still that? No.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah. That's
don't worry about that. Yeah, cut that.
We'll keep that in. Just in case someone's like, oh, I know what he's talking about. So I think at the point, I kind of want to keep kind of bringing your story up to today. You find yourself in these various partnerships. Mm-hmm. And then one grocery store leads to another grocery store. And things start snowballing or spring rolling.
Spring rolling. Get it?
And is it continuing down that path? Are you still finding different hardships, different kind of hardships in this?
Yes. I want to, before I get to today's hardships, I just find it's a really interesting story. Like, so during the negotiations with Palermo's, we signed a letter of intent and we signed, like, you can't negotiate with anybody. Like, Shark Tank reached out to me. Like the actual show, they said, hey, we've seen your social media. I'm like, okay, this is BS. Like, who is this playing on my phone? Well, and they sent me like their information. So I go to LinkedIn. Yeah. Crazy enough, I went to LinkedIn to see if this person was really working for Shark Tank. Sure enough, she works for Shark Tank.
Wow.
And she's like, she's been watching our videos and she loves. I'm like, at the time I got like 3,000 likes or followers on Instagram. I'm like, how? And it's just like, you know, no matter what, everybody's watching. Everybody. Yeah. So I talked to her and they like, yeah, this is serious. We would love to have you be on the show, whatever. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, I can't even go on Shark Tank because of this negotiation. So I said, all right, I just need to see if I will actually make it. And I filled out an application and they approved me to be on the show. It was like Kevin Hart and all these big celebrities are gonna be on that season. But then I'm like, oh my, I got to tell the people at Palermo's because I don't want them to sue me if they find out, whatever. So I told them, I said, Shark Tank reached out. Like, they want me on the show. This would be a great opportunity for me too. They were so cool about it. They were like, you know what? If you want to be on Shark Tank, we'll let you out the letter of intent. I think that would be great for you also, whatever. And I'm like, damn, that made me feel like, you know what? I want to do business with them because they did get business. They like, no matter what they wanted was best for me. And that's, for me, that's what made me want to be partners with Palermo. So I always like to say that because, you know, a lot of other companies could be like, oh, no, screw you.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I actually turned down Shark Tank to be with Palermo's because it was like they're local. You know, get on Shark Tank would maybe be some overnight success, but I didn't have all of the things in place.
Right, right.
I'll just go with a company that we could do that for ourselves. And I just have to turn into my own, you know, public figure from there.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. So.
That's really cool. I mean, and it's, you know, shows their loyalty, your loyalty.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
Right. I'm scared though. I ain't gonna lie. Cause I'm like, I'm getting sued by somebody you don't know. Like Shark Tank is one of the biggest shows on the planet. It's just like,
yeah.
I feel like we made the right decision because our partnership is going well so far.
Well, it is. Yeah. So, and what is your current trajectory then?
Yeah. So currently, since joining forces with Palermo's in earlier this year, we got our product into over 150 stores. So the Woodman's, Outpost, Syndex, Festival Food, Piggly Wiggly. Like Piggly Wiggly, I didn't realize Piggly Wiggly is such a big thing still.
Chop the pig, baby.
Chop the pig. You know, like as a kid, Piggly Wiggly, chop the pig. Right? It's like the coolest commercial. Yeah. It's like you live in Milwaukee, it's really not no Piggly Wiggly's over here. But Piggly Wiggly is a big deal. It's like 92 Piggly Wiggly's. In Wisconsin. So we're in Piggly Wiggly's. So currently where we're at though, we're having some issues, right? And part of it is like our price point's a little higher right now. We do have, it's a bigger spring roll compared to like something that's more mass produced. So our price point is a little high. People don't know about the product. So they just, you know, they see a product that's $9.99 and it's like, if our product's $9.99 and like our competitors is $5.99, a lot of times people want to pick the $5.99, even though ours is better quality, better value in sector. So that's like, I actually put a call to action last night on our social media. Like we need our Funky Fresh Nation to buy a pack a week because our sales has just dropped dramatically. Granted, it's summertime, people are at State Fair, people aren't at the grocery store. But we just need more support at this time because our sales drop so much. So for me, even in this moment, I'm like, all right, what can we do better? Can I make better content? Can we do more demos other places? Should we shrink our spring rolls? And that's probably what we're going to do. We're going to make them a little bit smaller so we could get them at a more affordable price. And I get it. Like times are tough, like $10, you know, that could be, you could get a big pizza for 10 bucks or four spring rolls. So it's like, money is tight for everybody and I totally get it. So from us, we're going to pivot again, try to make a smaller product and keep pushing at it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like another penny to collect, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and as the economy changes and, you know, I mean, I see that too on the merch side of it. I think everybody kind of is feeling that to a degree. Right. And, but yeah, I, you know, like, that's the sign of like a great leader who like says, okay, what can we do?
Yeah.
And then also I like how you like don't hesitate to ask your people to help you.
Yeah.
I mean, cause that again, like I feel like some people would be like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, you know, that's like being open and receptive to other people coming in. I'm game for that, you know. Yeah. I think we should do a, like a Bloody Mary video with those because I did a thing at my we had like a little party and we put them in there and everyone was talking about
let's do it. So as far as like asking for help, like I have no shame asking for help. Like look, I'm a bald guy, like I have no shame. Right, like clearly if you decided to go bald and say, you know what, I'm just giving up, you have no shame in life, and that's where I'm at. Like I clearly I need some help, but I'm asked. So I will never hesitate to ask for help. Like sometimes you got to get out your own way too.
100%.
You know, like asking for help, like no one gets to where they got to go, you know, by themselves. Like you didn't put this lovely podcast studio together by yourself, did
no.
you? Right?
No.
You got help.
No.
So we always,
I mean, I'm not that good with my hands. You know, if I put this together, there'd be holes in these walls.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty nice, high quality. I just want to remind y'all, first black guy on the Cripes cast.
Well, no, not on the Cripes cast.
No?
There's been a
Dang
lot
it.
Of, in the Cripes cast studio.
In the Cripes cast studio.
Yeah, you're the fourth person in this studio. One was Jewish.
Okay.
Two were white,
right.
And that one was somebody, white bald guy.
Somebody disabled? Is that a disabled sign?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's like
a Superman.
Yeah, he's doing these parks for disabled folks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
NFL Ironman, Jim Thomas?
Joe Thomas. Yeah, for the Browns.
Yeah.
Just got into the Hall of Fame.
Dang.
Yeah. You can sign right next to him. He hit his head on that wall. Dang it. So did Andy, but he's shorter and has no excuses.
You gave him the warning, though, right?
I didn't. That's why I gave you the warning.
Hey, collecting pennies. Because you know, now you know.
See?
Yeah. After three people that got concussions, the fourth guy, no. We can't have that done.
So. It's only two concussions. Okay. Don't oversell my concussion.
Sorry about that.
No, but back to your point here. I think people should get out there and get the spring rolls. Try them in the Blade Mares. Try them just for, I have them just, I'll go get a pack today myself. But I get them just for like, I'm bad with meals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if you're busy or whatever.
Yes.
And doing like meal planning, for instance, or like you gotta make that.
It's thoughts that go into energy. Then you gotta wash dishes.
Right.
Oh,
and what, yeah, you got to do dishes. And for me, like being like very busy and not like a great cook, that's why I like your stuff.
Yeah.
You can just have them and then you got dinner ready to go. And I think some people think because it's frozen, it's not as healthy or something. And I think that's a misconception. I kind of want to break on this. It's just as healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally healthier than a lot of other forms. And it's very environmental.
Yeah. So like with frozen stuff, we put no extra chemicals or preservatives to make it last longer. A lot of times that you get stuff that's shelf stable, they put either gases and stuff on it to make it last longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so us, we literally, it gets rolled, goes into a freezer, and that's it. Take fresh ingredients, put it all together, add the protein with it, mix it, roll it in a freezer. That's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, so. It's, of course, it's going to cost a little bit much because we are using fresh ingredients. It's not just quickly deep fried, flash fried, or whatever. It's made healthy as possible. But to the point of like not thinking about, like, my son is 13. He can just put something in there. I know it's good for him. He eat it, ready to go. My daughter, she's 5. She could try to do it. I could help her out a little bit. I'd rather have my daughter using air fryer than doing dishes, okay? Because she sucks at dishes. All it does is turn it to a playhouse. It's soap everywhere. And now you get some water out of the fridge. It's bubbly water, okay? So don't have your 5-year-olds do dishes. Have them use the air fryer.
Yeah, it's easy. It is easy enough. And I also think, like, you know, the working professionals out there where they money's not the issue. Time's the issue.
Time.
This is the perfect solution 100%. For that.
Do you have an air fryer?
No.
I mean, you know what? I think if I'm just off subject, you should have your own food product.
Yeah.
It could be a Charlie Baron something. Bloody Mary mix. I'm telling you, you could do it.
Yeah.
You got the brand equity. You know, you like food. You talk about food.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm just putting that in the universe for you.
Well, maybe we partner on something.
Maybe this is a Bloody Mary spring roll. Something.
Yeah, I'd be down to do that.
You know,
because like it's putting it together and getting the story behind it, you know, and also me being good at cooking. You know, the only thing I'm good at really cooking is like fish, because I like catch them, clean them, that
okay.
kind of thing.
That's a skill,
or
man.
Like pheasant, I can do. Duck, I can do. Really, if I. Kill it, I can grill it. But that's beyond that, not too good.
That's like farm to table big time.
Maybe we do some venison.
Some venison rolls?
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Maybe.
Man.
Maybe it can be from, I wish we could do it with like, you know, deer people kill, but that's not how that goes.
How's that work? Is it farm? Is it like farm field?
You got to get some farm because there's CWD. And then there's also, you know, you can't turn recreational hunting into a for-profit thing. I think there's some law against that because you don't want people poaching, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So, anyways. But good stuff. We'll chit-chat more on that. We'll find some way to collab.
Yeah. So I feel like everybody has air fryers now. Air fryers going to be taking over the microwaves,
mm-hmm.
I think, pretty soon. So,
I do have to get one of them.
You don't have one?
When I tell you peak laziness outside of work, it's just I don't make enough time for my
How do you cook your rolls then? I just assumed you put them in the air fryer.
No, I've been microwaving.
Sometimes
I put them in the oven. Oven's better, for sure. But you know, we've all been there where it's late and you just and look,
you got to just do it.
I will say they don't taste bad out of the microwave. I wrap them up in
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.